What's going on, guys? Derek from Think Computers here, and this is our weekly tech podcast, episode 86. Reminder that this episode is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon.
Whatever you want to call it.
Whichever. Just try either and go to Amazon and buy your stuff through that link. It kicks a little something back to us, helps the podcast keep going. Of course, you just heard Bob, who runs the podcast. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? You're like, are you on a lot of caffeine? It sounds like you're on a lot of caffeine right now.
no caffeine.
No caffeine. Wow.
I don't do caffeine, remember?
That's good, actually.
Yeah.
I'm, like, stuck on caffeine, and it's just, like, a bad thing. But, like, this time of year is super busy for me.
Yeah.
So I'm always, like, I always, like, get off caffeine, and then I'm always just, like, back on it.
Yeah. It's caffeine's a tricky thing, because, like, yeah, it's great if you drink caffeine, because you can, you know, if you really need to, you can always get that energy up with the caffeine. But also, it burns out of your system and you crash from it, so it's...
Yeah. I don't have that hard of crashes anymore. I kind of, like, know what makes me crash and know what doesn't, but...
Oh, okay.
It's not... And, like, you know, the caffeine things I drink aren't good for me, like, as far as, like, Starbucks or, like, energy drinks, which are horrible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, like, I need to get back... There was, like, a time where, like, I was off caffeine for, like, a couple years, and it was really good. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
All I drank was, like, water and, like, tea and, like, good stuff. You know?
Yeah, it just being off it just keeps you level, I feel.
Yeah, and it's like you don't necessarily need it, but then when you get back on, you feel like you always need it.
Yeah. It's like anytime you're tired, the excuse is that you need caffeine, right?
Yeah, so it's, yeah. But we'll get away from the caffeine talk and actually onto some tech this week. We have three really awesome reviews that we did this past week, and we'll start with your review, which was the NZXT S340 Elite case.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Oh, is that what you want me to do here?
I was going to give you a good intro there for you to just go right in.
I killed your lead in.
I know.
So obviously, NZXT S340 Elite. This is the Elite version, of course, of the S340. They added a tempered glass side panel and some VR stuff. So basically, you get an HDMI, and I don't know if does the standard S340 come with two front panel 3.0s?
Yes. Okay. I believe it does.
So you're just getting the HDMI up in the front, but it's actually, that's really useful because it puts it right in the front. You can easily, you know, pull your cords and stuff. You can have this sit in the living room and you're good to go, like, right away with it. You don't got to reach around to the back. You're just right on the front. It's nice and sleek. It's also got a cutout in the back of the case so you can pass your HDMI through to the back of your GPU. So that's pretty sweet. Then you don't got to buy one of the fancy VR ready cards that has the inside HDMI plug, so that's useful.
Do you think we'll see more cases do that coming, like, in 2017? Do you think we'll see an HDMI in the front because VR is getting so popular and all that? You know,
I think possibly. My answer, if you would have asked me, like, at CES last year, I would have said the same thing, though, that I think it's going to become popular this year. And we haven't seen it a whole lot.
Yeah, I think this is the only case. Well, this is the only case that we reviewed that has it. I don't know if there's other ones that are out there besides this.
I think I've seen a couple. I can't name anything specific. I just feel like I've seen it. But yeah. This is the one I've seen. It's really useful, but it's not, like, a must-have either. So it's kind of a gamble for them to put it on, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that if you are using a VR headset, it's definitely useful. It's just like having the front USB ports in any system. It just makes it more convenient, especially if you're going to LAN parties or something like that, where it's just easier to connect to the front instead of going all the way behind the back of your system.
Certainly, yeah. I feel like if you're at a desktop and, like, you're just going to plug your headset in and, like, that's it, you don't need this. Like, if you're never going to unplug it, you know, who cares? But, like, if you are using, like, a Vive, for example, I feel like this is much better because you're moving around a room. It's you kind of want your access to it to be, like, as far out in the open as it can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're limited by that cord as you move around. So this just gives more freedom for that, I feel. But it's also just kind of cool to have. You can, there are other things you could use it for. I mean, you can easily hook up monitors and stuff too.
Oh, so yeah, for sure.
It's kind of like a why not. And it's the way that the pass-through works in the back corner, it doesn't add any bulk or any extra cable or anything, really. It's just a really sleek little like cutout in it. And you're all set, you know? So nice. I don't see any negatives to it, other than it makes the case a little more expensive. But I think that most of the cost difference in this case comes from the tempered glass panel.
What's the price difference?
This is $99.99. So this is $100. I'm not sure what the Elite is. Check that real quick.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the price difference is. Because this is a really good case. S340 is a really nice case.
Yeah.
Just by itself.
Helps about actually look the right case. So the regular case is $69.99.
Okay.
So it's $30, but I would pay $30 for this panel, to be honest.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that tempered glass is real glass, and it's heavy, and it's thick, and having a glass panel on your system compared to an acrylic panel is such a difference. You can just tell.
It's so much clearer.
It's so much clearer. It's less prone to get scratched and things like that. When acrylic, you bump it and it gets scratched and there goes your panel. Like,
yeah.
Tempered glass is such a nice upgrade for a case. And it's great to see all these different manufacturers adding, like, you know, special editions and things like that with the tempered glass.
Yeah, and the glass is actually easier to clean. Acrylic is horrible to clean.
I hate trying to. It's
so staticky.
Yeah. I had an all acrylic case once. You remember when those were really popular?
Yeah.
I had one of those, and it was like the biggest bitch to clean. And like, I, you know, scratches eventually got on. It was just bad news.
Yeah, they look cool, and acrylic has its place. Don't get me wrong, but definitely tempered glass wins out, I think, in the full side panel.
Yeah.
Sure. Not only that, but like these full tempered glass panels, you'll never see an acrylic like full side panel. At least I don't think I've ever seen one on a case. And it gives you so much more of a view of the inside of the case.
Yeah.
Than your typical little window.
Yeah. The reason you don't see acrylic as a full side panel most of the time is because the acrylic is too cheap and it's too you're opening it. They need that either steel or aluminum around it to keep it from bending and breaking, because that would happen a lot. So with the tempered glass, you don't need that. And it's just, like I said, it's having tempered glass is just awesome. Like, I think every case should have tempered glass.
Definitely.
You know, so. Yeah. But besides that, I mean, you really like this case. You actually put your system in this.
Yeah. So I moved my system into this now and sitting right next to me, and I've got no complaints. It's got, you know, 2.5-inch mounting trays in the, like, one's right on the front of the hard or the power supply cover, and then two more on top of it, which is kind of a standard thing for most cases, even.
Yeah.
Very standard for NZXT. It's got a bunch of space in the front for rad, although I did run into a little bit of an issue if certain radiators, if the in the chamber with the inlet and outlet ports is kind of funky, you might run into space at the top trying to fit a 280, because 280 is the max for this.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I couldn't get a certain brand 280 into the front of this. I had to drop down to a 240.
Gotcha. That happens a lot, though, because when they say support for a 280, you know, it all depends, because that's just the size of the actual fan mounting on the radiator. A lot of times it doesn't include the inlet outlet on the end
chambers.
So
that was a little disappointing, but it's honestly, it's only held up because there's a metal plate that kind of protects the bottom of the IO board and the front IO board, and you could easily cut that off if you wanted to mod this thing and have more space.
Gotcha. Nice. I really like I believe I reviewed the S340.
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah. I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah, and it was just such a clean case, too. And I think that's a big thing with NZXT is a lot of their cases, like the H440 as well, really clean case. And one thing NZXT has done for the past, I would say, 3 years now, is they've really built cases for builders as far as all the time the inside, like their internal design is changing all the time because people want certain things, and they're a company that's willing to do that. They're willing to change designs to keep up with what's going on. And as we always have said, certain companies don't do that, and they kind of get left behind. Companies that were really known for cases aren't really known that well anymore because they don't keep up with what's going on. And I think NZXT is one of the companies that continues to do that.
I would honestly say that they're like the company that has done that. They have been in the modding forums. Like, they've got reps in there. They're looking at builds. They're seeing what people are doing, and then they're bringing it to their cases, and they've got actual builders on staff, you know, giving feedback to their designers to get these things, you know, how they should be.
Yeah, and I think that's the way you should do it, because you should see how your customers are using your product and then go ahead and make changes along the way. And I think that's great that they're doing that. So.
Definitely.
So definitely, yeah, check out Derek's review. Really good review.
We gave this Editor's Choice Award, right?
Yes, I believe so. You did. So
yeah, definitely 10 out of 10.
At
$100 too, dude, there's so much value in this case.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is you're getting the tempered glass, you're getting the front HDMI, and it's just a nice case. It's easy to
build
in.
The matte black is so deep.
Yeah, it's so a good case for $100. Yeah. And that's the thing that NZXT has done as well, is they keep their cases relatively inexpensive compared to what else is out there. So this is probably one of our favorite cases of the year, I would say.
This is definitely mine.
Yeah, Derek's for sure. It's up there. So definitely check out the review. Really great stuff. So we'll move.
The only thing that you might find that you don't like is that the fans are definitely budget case fans. So that's a really minor thing, though.
That happens, though, unless you're getting like a special edition case that comes with like a special edition fan.
Yep.
A lot of times, and then those costs, you know, this case would be like $140, $139, something like that. If you had, say, you know, the new NZXT, AER fans in there or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're RGB ones.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's something that I think you would just swap out eventually. You can get by with these. They're not super quiet. That's my complaint. But they're going to get you by until maybe you can upgrade your fans.
Yeah. So I think it's, like I said, I think it's a good case. I think it would be a good first build case too.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. That's a big thing, is a lot of people are getting into the PC, and a lot of gamers are building their first system by themselves. And especially with Christmas coming up, you know, a lot of people are going to get the parts, and I think this would be a perfect build for a perfect case for that first build. I remember my first build was an Antec case, actually. It was awesome. It was it was beige box. I forget which one it was, but it was the one that like everybody who was building their own PC had at the time. This is a long time ago. But it was cool building my own thing. And I even put a window in it. Like, I modded it with a Dremel and put a window in it, like all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, that was the good old days.
Yeah, so that's before cases had windows and before cases came in other colors, and it was just like, you know, if you wanted to make a case stand out, you had to do it yourself, and that's kind of, you know.
It was kind of nice because things stood out so easily.
Back then, yeah. Now you have to do a lot for something to stand out. So So, but yeah, definitely check out Derek's review. I don't want to get too much off course here because we have a lot to cover in this episode. But we'll move on to my reviews, and the first thing I took a look at is something I've really wanted for a while. It is the Rocket Sova MK Gaming Lap Board, and we've seen a couple of these from a couple different companies. Rocket has done this one, and basically what a lap board is, it is made for gaming in the living room, and surprisingly a lot of people are gaming in the living room. With the availability of smaller PC parts, mini ITX and things like that, a lot of people are building home theater PC / living room gaming machine. A lot of people are. But if you're a PC gamer, having a controller just doesn't do it. I had a Steam machine. I had the Steam controller. While it works well, it did not replace my mouse and keyboard, especially when it came to FPS games. It just did not do it. excuse me. It just didn't do it. And I had to sit there with like a TV tray and like put my mouse and keyboard on there. It just wasn't comfortable at all. So Rocket has come up with their gaming lap board, which gives you a keyboard and mouse pad that sits on your lap, and it's actually really comfortable. They have two different versions. So we got the MK version, which comes with mechanical key switches, and then they have one that comes with a membrane. So if you're not necessarily into mechanical, you can use that one. But I was actually surprised because I thought a lot of these were kind of gimmicky. But it's actually, like, I just sat down and I was instantly able to play. I didn't have any issues with getting used to it or anything like that. It comes with a mouse bungee as well, so you connect your mouse, and your mouse isn't going to go flying on, like flying off if yeah, you.
That's cool.
Yeah, if you stand up or something like that, it has a 13-foot long USB cable, so you won't have any issues getting it connected. You know, so you, I like from where my PC is in my living room to the couch, it's like 10 feet or something like that. So,
yeah.
So when I was using a normal keyboard and mouse, I actually had to sit closer to the TV. Now I can actually relax on my couch, which is nice. And this has a 2-port USB port as well. So that gives you the ability to connect all of your devices. So you can connect your USB headset, your USB mouse, and of course you have your keyboard already in there and connected. Really comfortable to use. It's just great to relax and play games, especially if you sit on your main PC all day and you kind of just want to play games, but you don't want to, you know, be in the same place you've been all day.
I totally know that feeling. Don't want to lock yourself away in your office the whole day.
Yeah. So it's a great device, and I think that if you do have a gaming PC in your living room, this is the way to go.
Nice.
I could never go back to using that TV tray. Which I was doing, which didn't make it that comfortable because I was still like kind of just sitting down like I would at a normal desk anyways.
Yeah.
This gives me the ability to really relax on my couch and still have good control. And that's the biggest thing, is having control in your games, because, you know, you miss that headshot, you miss that, you know, flag capture, whatever it may be, you're kind of pissed. Oh, and this gives you really good control. It uses these TTC switches, which are much like a Cherry MX Brown. But a little less tactile feedback, and I actually did like them a lot. Rocket is using them in a couple of their different keyboards. Okay. So yeah,
what do
so
we know about their reliability or other functions?
I'm not sure on the reliability. They actually don't have a lot of information on these switches on their website, which was kind of weird to me. Yeah. But they are a true mechanical switch.
And they feel good.
Yeah, they feel really good, and they're a little less clicky, a little less tactile feedback, which is actually kind of nice for this product, because you're going to get a little bit of feedback because you have this sitting on your lap. You know what I mean? I think they were actually designed for this type of keyboard anyways. The only other thing about this keyboard, it's not RGB, but I think in this type of setting, it's not that big of a deal.
What do you feel though, like at that price?
So the price of this is $199, and then you for the non-mechanical it's $149.
Like $200, sure. I kind of expect to see RGB just.
Yeah, just you kind of expect to see,
but it's so hard to say because it is a lap board, you know.
Yeah, so the lap board, again, you're not just paying for a keyboard here; you're paying for the whole lap board that does have the integrated two-port USB port, which is something you don't see on keyboards. You see a single-port USB port typically, and the little mouse bungee thing. And again, it does have nice cushions on the bottom too, so I think the cost is kind of justified. I think that, you know, you're going to pay $70 to $80 for a good wireless controller, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, and this gives you a lot more than that, I think. You know, I don't know. I think the price for me, if you're going to use this, if you're going to make full use of this, like if this is something that you're going to use, you know, maybe once every couple of weeks, it's not worth $200. But if you are a living room gamer, you come home and that's what you do, this is totally worth $200 to me. But yeah, not having RGB, again, for me, that's not a big deal because, you know, this is sitting on your lap. You're not really even looking at it that much.
In my mind, I just picture like people hanging out with you since you're in a living room, and like it's kind of cool to have RGB stuff going on.
Yeah, it's blue backlit, which is kind of cool. It has all the functions that an RGB one would, like all the different lighting effects and all of that. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have an RGB one. Maybe they will have one. Maybe they'll come out with one.
Yeah.
Not sure. But I think, again, if you are a living room gamer, especially a living room PC gamer, this is something you should definitely have. It's really cool. And it's, sometimes you're like, oh, I want to play PC games. And I was basically kind of half-assing it with sitting close to the TV with a keyboard and mouse. And this gives you that full experience and it completes the experience. So I think it's worth the $200 if you're going to actually really use it. So.
Gotcha.
And it is comfortable. That's the thing. I played for 2.5 hours on this thing. No worse for wear or anything like that. Didn't have any issues. So.
And it doesn't make you feel like you're losing the mouse off the board or anything.
No. So that's the biggest thing, too, is the mouse pad is big enough for me. I play a lot of FPS. So I don't know how it would go with, MOBA and MMO games. But for FPS, it worked perfectly for me. I wasn't flying off or anything like that. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And the thing is, too, is that you can obviously adjust your mouse speed, which would make your movements shorter if you really wanted to. But for me, at my typical settings, it worked just fine.
Cool.
And it wasn't like I was doing certain things or really into my game and like the board was going one way or the other,
It was rocking all over.
Yeah, it wasn't rocking or anything. It was completely flat, so I liked it.
Cool.
So definitely check out that review. It's a really cool product. Something that I've wanted to actually get my hands on and play with for a while. So that moves us on to a CPU cooler from Sith, and it is their Kabuto 3, which is a new version of their very popular Kabuto cooler. This replaces the Kabuto 2. And this is a top-down CPU cooler, and these are very popular for people who have a lot of height restrictions in their system. It just makes it, you don't have, everybody has tower coolers, but the problem with tower coolers is their height. And if you're working in like a mini ITX system, a lot of times a tower cooler just won't fit. And this does a great job of cooling systems like that. And it is a top flow, so the fan actually blows down instead of blowing out or away, and that actually cools your components around your CPU as well, so like your memory and your VRMs and things like that. This has great performance, worked really well, installation was really good. The only issue I have with this is it uses the stupid push pins that are plastic.
It does?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if I talked about it. We don't talk about it a whole lot on the podcast, but I've talked about it on the site quite a lot, is that the push pins, if you're familiar with the Intel stock CPU cooler, uses these plastic push pins, which I hate. I just hate.
This looks horrible.
Actually, the push pins were really easy to install. I didn't have an issue.
Of course they are.
But I didn't have an issue or anything like that. But I just, one, I don't feel comfortable with plastic holding a CPU cooler on my CPU. Two is that if you are finicky, which I can be at times, if you break one of these pins, which is pretty easy to do, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes the one part of the pin bends down and you think it's clipped in and it's not, and then your CPU isn't making the best contact, or your CPU cooler isn't making the best. It's just.
Yeah, it's just enough though that you think it is, and then you run it anyways, and it's just like, well, these aren't that great attempts.
Yeah,
they're not. So, they're not horrible. So you don't necessarily fix it.
Yeah. So that's the only issue with this. In this form factor, it is extremely hard to have a good mounting system, because basically you're covering the entire CPU socket and surrounding area with the heatsink. But we have seen people do it.
Yeah, why not just like create a channel through the fins?
Yeah, that's what a lot of other companies do. Again, that's the issue. And because it has that type of mounting system, it does not support LGA 2011 and 2011 V3 sockets.
It doesn't have an alternative system for those?
No, it does not.
That's disappointing.
But the performance is good. You could put this on one of those if you really wanted to. So I did like the performance for what it was. And again, it does help cool the surrounding area.
with the installation, I didn't have an issue. I was able to install this inside my case, which was actually kind of surprising to me. I didn't have to take the motherboard out. And it fared pretty well for what it is. It's because it's not a high-performance cooler by any means. So it did really well. It's only $45, which is pretty, you know.
It's kind of getting up there, though.
It's decently getting up there, but,
it does perform well.
When it comes to high-performance air coolers, we're seeing $70, $80 now for something that's top of the line.
But not for a top-down.
Not for a top-down, no.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like no matter what you do with top-down, your performance is almost always going to still be stuck right in that kind of entry-level, but not stock air cooler.
Yeah, know? So for me, this would obviously be great to replace the Intel stock cooler. It would obviously be great to have in a small form factor, just like we talked about the small form factor home theater / gaming PC. It could do that. Mini ITX, this will cover almost the entire board, which is kind of cool. Something that would be pretty cool to see, actually. But there's no memory restriction or anything like that. It won't cover, typical memory modules. All of the heat pipes don't get in the way of any VRMs or any heat sinks or anything like that. So
that's good. There's always that risk.
Yeah. So it's a good cooler. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I did like it. Just this plastic push pins, it's just annoying to me.
Yeah.
If you make CPU coolers, you should, none of it should be made of plastic except for the fan. That's it.
Yeah. Everything should be stepping away from the Intel stock cooler, not towards it at all.
Yeah, so that was my issue. But a good cooler, definitely check out the review. And that brings us to my favorite article every year, or one of my favorite articles every year, because it makes me it's a different type of article.
Get your dreams going.
Yeah, get my dreams going. So
yeah.
We published our staff wish list this week, or today's Sunday, so... In what? I can't do math.
I think it came out just last week.
Yeah, it came out last week. Yes. Yeah. This upcoming week is Christmas.
Yeah.
So we did our staff holiday wish list. And basically it's 5 to 6 products that each of us would like. And I think out of my list, there's 2 products on my list that I would really want.
Hold on, I want to guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me get back to your list here. Let's see. Do you want me to read through them? I don't want to spoil it, but I still want to guess.
No, don't read through them all, but just guess which one I would want out of all of them.
Okay, I know you want the smart desk, the standing desk, and I think that you probably want the curved monitor more than anything.
See, for me, it's between the camera and the curved monitor.
You're close there.
Yeah, that curved monitor is so nice.
Yeah, I know you're all about that.
So my list is comprised of a smart standing desk that goes up and down. I'm sure you guys have seen those, that you can set different heights and it can go up and down. A LG 38-inch 21x21.9 ultra-wide IPS curved LED monitor. It's just sick. A new camera, which is a Sony A6500, which just came out. Huge fan of that camera.
Yeah.
The PrimoChill Praxis Wet Bench, which this is a test bench, but it's so nice, and I need a new test bench here. I want to replace this one I've had for so long. And
wait, which one?
The one that I want to replace?
Yeah.
Is the high speed PC tech station.
Oh, okay. Because you just got...
I just got the Lian Li one.
Okay, yeah.
I like it, but I think the PrimoChill one would be better.
Okay.
And the PrimoChill one actually has actual spots for water cooling, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm not doing hardcore water cooling, but to be able to put like a 240 or 280 rad on my test system would be nice, an AIO. So,
it'd be pretty cool to actually do a custom loop that you left lots of extra tubing on.
Yeah, that would be actually pretty good. That's actually a good idea. At least for the CPU, I think it would be cool.
Yeah, certainly. It would give you, to me, that gives you the most stable, consistent cooling, right?
And install, yeah, and if you, if I left that extra tubing on, installing that block would be a lot easier, I would think.
Easy. Than, way easier than an AIO.
AIO, yeah. So that, that's a good, that's something to think about. That's something that I, you know, we could do for 2017.
Ooh, if
I
could, we could see something. Bob's first water cooling build.
Ooh.
Bob's getting wet.
Yeah, wow. And then finally, I had two NVIDIA GeForce GTX 1080s. And the one, my GTX 1080 of choice is the MSI Gaming X cards. I got their 1060 Gaming X, and I fell in love with it. Just class, and it's just a nice solid card. So I'm yeah, those are my list. What's on your list? You should go through your list.
All right. I went this year. I was a little more like realistic. Last year, I had like a $10,000 projector. I'm like, sure, sure, I want that, but yeah, not gonna buy that. So the one thing, it's still expensive, but like I brought this one from last year. I still want the Sony. The Alpha 7R2. Oh, that's what's missing from the title that threw me. The Alpha's missing.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, I'm looking at... The Alpha 7R2, which is the Sony's top-of-the-line compact mirrorless. It's everything you could want in a DSLR, absolutely everything, but in the compact mirrorless form factor, so it's still smaller, a little bit bigger than the A6000 I have, and it's got a full-frame sensor, which to me is the biggest thing. You're not losing any light, essentially, with this thing, so it's as bad as you can find a compact mirrorless, so I want that. I want an NES Classic Edition, which is, everybody knows, it's the little remake of the original Nintendo, coming with 30 classic games, which are impossible to find.
Yes, right now they are.
You know, Bob did play one, though, right?
Yeah, we have one at the office, actually.
Nice. But yeah, I'm sure they'll be available eventually, like, for everyone.
You will need to buy an extension cable for the controllers.
It's only like, what, 3 feet or something?
Yeah, it's 3 feet. It's way too short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be willing to figure that out just to play. Yeah. It just seems like so much fun.
Yeah, and it brings back that retro thing. And I think so many people now, you know, our generation, you know, everybody now who's like 25 to 35. Yeah. We grew up with like these things now, and the nostalgia is coming back, and we're at the age now where we can afford a lot of these. These were cool things, you know, the NES when it came out, it was like we were kind of kids and we didn't have money for it, so our parents had to buy it, and now we're at the age where we can buy these things, obviously, and you know, so many companies are cashing in on nostalgia right now.
Oh yeah.
So it's great to see this.
Yeah. To me it's like, yeah, you can emulate like everything, we've known that's existed for like 10 years, but like it's the original controller, you know, in your hand, it's the look, it's the feel,
playing it on the TV in the living room too, because with emulators you can play this in the living room too, but it's just a different feel when it's the actual real official system, you
know? Yeah, definitely.
Yes,
so I want one of those are only $60. That's a good deal. Yes. I am redoing my basement right now finally, so I'm going to have a screen, and I'll be getting a projector for that. I'll probably just wind up with a 1080p DLP rather than a 4K, because they're still
super
really expensive. Yeah. And this S340 Elite, I got the mod bug. I'd really like to do some mods on this, put a couple of rads in it, so I need a couple of thin radiators for it. I'd like a couple of Alpha Cool Nexus ST30s, which is a 30mm full copper rad. Couple of 280s would be nice, and you know, a set of 8 Jellied Wing 14s would be sweet to go on that too.
Nice.
Just get back into the water cooling thing here. Haven't done a mod for a while, so that'd be fun. And lastly, I would like a Vive. Really, I would like the next generation, because I want the headset. I want the displays to be better than they are now. But VR is the thing. I believe it's the future, so I want any VR module. I've got the little Daydream VR from Google for my Pixel, but it's not really the real thing.
Yeah. So, good list for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
I think both of our lists are pretty varied. They go from low cost to high cost.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think my lowest cost thing was like $200. And then my highest cost thing is $1,400, so.
Which really isn't bad. I think that's a very achievable list.
Yeah, all those are very achievable lists. So good list, and yours is a really good list as well. So we also have Mark and Jax on there as well. So if you want to see what all we want for Christmas, go ahead and check out that article. And then that brings us to Case Mod Friday, of course, which is a section of our site where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this one was submitted to us, which we don't get a whole lot of submissions. I usually have to go and find these. But this one was submitted to us by AK Mod. And I've actually seen, or I haven't seen any of his mods, actually. This is actually his first water cooling build. And I think he did a really good job. I think he picked out the correct components to put something good together. It is a, it's called Black Tone, and it's in the Case Labs SMA8, which is just an awesome case for water cooling. And it's called Black Tone. It's all black. Everything in it is pretty much all black, which is kind of nice. So he has black, you know, black motherboard, black graphics cards, black memory, black tubing.
Did he paint the tubing, or is it some sort of...
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Maybe did powder-coated something, or... not. Yeah, it looks really good. Like, the paint is it's a really smooth matte black, so...
Yeah, I'm not specifically sure what he did. But I think for a first water cooling build, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that I don't even know if I could do something like this on my first build, you know, really cool. And he has that, that Asus ROG board that has the RGB lights in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a custom, SLI bridge that has the RGB so you can match all of his colors, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
But it's just a great build. I think it's just a great first build for somebody.
Yeah, it's a good flat black, build. And he picking the SMA is like, that's a smart choice. It's a very easy case that needs no modding, essentially. I've built in that case before. It's a very nice case. But he does do a good job. It's a pretty standard build. I would say not really much that's been done that's really custom, other than the tubing might be, and just, you know, the general setup, but nothing extreme. But it's just a really, really clean build.
Yeah,
I like the line. The lines of the tubing are good.
Yeah, it's really clean. It's done well. For a first time build, I think he did a great job. So,
for sure.
Hats off to him, and thanks for submitting. We have a section where you guys can submit on the site. So, if you want to submit, you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Yes, and that brings us to news. And I would say this past week, was a week for AMD for sure. Almost all of our stories have to do with AMD. So, we'll start with their big announcement. They had their new Horizon event Tuesday. It was Tuesday. Yeah. And I watched the live stream. I don't think you did.
No, I was at work.
Yeah, I watched the live stream. It was pretty interesting. So they made Zen official with their Ryzen processor.
Yes.
So this is their mainstream processor. It is a 8-core, 16-thread processor, and I'm not sure if it's just going to be. They didn't really made it clear if this is just going to be this processor or there's going to be multiple Ryzen processors. I would assume there's going to be multiple Ryzen processors.
Other variants.
Yeah, different variants, but every Ryzen processor will have a base clock of 3.4 gigahertz, which is pretty cool. So you're not going to have a lower speed Ryzen chip. It has 20 megabytes of combined L2 and L3 cache, and of course, it's built on the AMD or the AM4 platform.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some really cool stuff to talk about as far as the technologies built inside. I think the cool thing is it sort of has machine learning built in. So they have all these technologies together are called AMD Sense MI technology, and the two that are really interesting are neural net prediction and smart prefect. Neural net prediction, you use a smart learning to self-train and preload the correct instructions, so see what you're doing and kind of preload certain instructions to send to the CPU, and then smart prefect will actually anticipate and preload
everything. And AMD says these two technologies actually make up for a quarter of the improved performance over previous generation. So that's really awesome to see. It's really great to see that there are many technologies that make things better, make the processor run more efficiently. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well this is going to work, obviously, but I think that it's definitely a step in the right direction for AMD.
It's really cool. It's really kudos to them for even trying a tech like this.
Yeah.
My main concern is that it's like 15%. That's basically their edge over Intel, you know, or getting them up to Intel, right? So yeah. My concern is that like that edge is coming from something that up in it's really not a proven tech, right? In any environment, let alone a mainstream consumer product.
Yeah.
So, because like you said, it is essentially it's an AI. So it's if that doesn't predict right, what happens? Does your speed drop down? Is the only reason that their comparisons, you know, that they've shown us so far because they've really, you know, learned that they already know what they're fetching for those very specific benchmarks. So
that's very true. I really didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So I think with any type of new architecture, I think it needs some kind of burn-in time. I mean, we saw that with X99. There were so many issues early on in X99 that have now been resolved.
Yeah.
But you know, there's issues, and I think that we will really have to see. I think just like what you just talked about with VR, you want the second generation because you want everything to be worked out of the first one, you know? So we'll have to see how this really does. And the thing is, you know, AMD could give us numbers and show us benchmarks, but we need to see this in the real world. We need to see this in your PC and my PC and running all the time and see how it kind of works, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Do I think we should give AMD the benefit of the doubt? Yes. Should we just trust that this is the next thing? I don't think so. I think that AMD has too poor of a track record for us to just jump on board. At least for me.
Me too.
If this comes in at the right price point, I will probably build my first AMD system forever.
That is one thing that AMD did not say in this whole thing, their big thing, no price.
They didn't, because wasn't that something that was talked about, that it's going to be the price of, say, a Skylake chip?
If that's true, which we should get to and which we should talk about, is the benchmarks that they showed.
Yeah.
So
it stomps all over that.
Yes. So, again, this is supposed to, according to rumors, be around the price of a current Skylake chip, like an i7-6700K or the upcoming Kaby Lake 7700K.
Yeah.
But they tested it head-to-head against the $1,100 Intel Core i7-6900K. That is Intel's 8-core, 16-thread processor, part of the high-end desktop line, which is super expensive and only works on X99.
Big boys.
Yeah, and the Ryzen CPU was set at 3.4 gigahertz, no boost at all. The Intel chip was out of the box, set at 3.2 gigahertz, and had turbo boost turned on, which means it boosts up to 3.7. So as soon as it starts the CPU test or whatever it's doing, it's going to boost up to that anyways. So first, they did a Blender test, and the two processors seem to go head-to-head, which is really impressive, again, if this is going to be that same price. And then, secondly, they did a handbrake test where they transcoded a video, and the Ryzen chip actually beat the i7-6900K. It did the transcoding in 54 seconds compared to 59 seconds. It does this all at a lower TDP as well. So the TDP of this chip is 95 watts compared to the 140 watts of the Intel chip.
Yeah.
And this is all, again, done before the final optimization as well. So it's very promising, right?
Yes.
And it's great to see. I think that, you know, AMD had to go back to the drawing board and completely redo the entire architecture. Which they did with Zen. That was the whole thing.
I think that, to me, when I look at specs, I feel like I'm looking more at an Intel part. I think that they've kind of, like, taken Intel's lead a little bit. You know what I mean? Like they're really, and I think that's the only way they could do it. Like, you can't invent your own thing at this point, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, they tried, they've done their own thing, and it's not been able to keep up. So it's kind of like, well, we should probably copy to try to get back there.
Yeah, and the biggest thing with this will be the price and where it's positioned at.
Yeah.
I don't believe this is positioned as a high-end desktop part. I believe that it's positioned as a gamer and enthusiast part for sure. But if it's positioned as the same as an i7 6700 or 7700K and around that price,
350,
this would be
no doubt. Hey, no choice to be made.
Yeah, and in other tests as well as gaming tests and everything, and once this processor comes out and we see the benchmarks, if it is as impressive as AMD is making it out to be, this is going to be a game changer, at least for 2017.
Until doesn't have anything ready to compete.
Yeah, so I think it's great, and I think the event went pretty well.
People are very excited.
Yeah, people are excited for this. Yeah. So, and I think we both are as well. So,
yeah, I am super curious. I'm always a skeptic. So, like, don't take me the wrong way when I'm talking about this. I just don't trust things like offhand, right? But I'm still very interested. I am very excited to see what this can do, and if things are looking good, I will buy. One thing I'm curious about. So it's 95 watts compared to 140 of Intel, right? I hope that that's not because it's super voltage sensitive. If that's the case, we could see this thing stuck around the 3.4 gigahertz.
Well, that's another interesting thing that they announced was the what's it called? Is it called extended?
Oh, the
extended frequency range. So part of the AMD SenseMe or SenseMI technology is this thing called extended frequency range, which will sense what type of cooling you have. So if you have air cooling, if you have an AIO, if you have liquid cooling, even if you have LN2, it will sense the type of environment the chip's at, and it will enable higher clock speeds based on that.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think we will see. I think they know that overclocking is a big part, and I think that they've really tried to at least make this chip overclock pretty easily.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Again, the voltage thing could just be nothing, but it is something to be like a little bit like things that are super low voltage, they tend to be, sensitive to it.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case.
For sure. So we'll have to, like I said, it's going to 2017 for a lot of reasons will be an exciting year if you're a PC person. So this is definitely one of them. And hopefully we'll get to see this in person at CES. So
I think we will.
Yes.
And even if you're an Intel fanboy and you're going to be diehard about it, that's okay. We don't hate you. I think that this is good because this is probably going to give you, even if it is better, this is going to give you better Intel parts 2020.
Yeah, that's the best. That's what we always talk about, especially with NVIDIA and AMD as well. We like them going head-to-head because it brings out better products on both sides. If you think that... If Intel didn't have their core series processors and do all that, do you think that AMD would be doing this right now, or they would have to? I don't think so.
No.
Do you think that AMD is completely redid their graphics division with the Radeon group if they didn't have to? They're spending more time on their drivers and everything else. If there wasn't, it just
we have a better product because they weren't competitive.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
Yeah, so that's so it's good. It's going to be a great year for CPUs in 2017. So I'm really excited.
The best thing for everyone would be for this to be a knockout part.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. So we will obviously keep you guys updated, and we're expected to see this at CES. So
bring you some pictures and video. Hopefully.
Yeah, pictures, video. We'll have it all for you. So also talking about AMD, they had a private press only event. Not this weekend because it's over, but this past weekend in California, where they were showing off the AMD new graphics architecture of Vega, and somebody broke MDA and released some information showing that
the new Vega GPU, whatever it may be, was running Doom at 4K, and it was hitting almost 70 FPS, which is pretty awesome. The prototype, not much information is known about it, but it will have a floating point performance of 25 teraflops. That's double precision and 12.5 single precision. That's higher, at least on paper, than the Titan X Pascal card. And the card will have 8 gigabytes of HBM2 on it. So again, that's also
sure it will.
Yeah, Derek has been waiting for HBM2.
I want HBM2 so bad.
And to be like a standard on all cards for like the past year and a half. So
I'm starting to doubt it's ever coming,
but at least this shows that we will see a high-end card from AMD, right? Because right now the highest that they have is the RX 480 for gamers.
Well, the,
and, the enthusiasts and gamer segment, all we have is the RX 480, which does not compete obviously with NVIDIA's GTX 1080. You know, so a lot of people are wondering what's AMD going to do for that high end segment. So we'll see. And this is very promising.
To me, the biggest question is: isn't every other year mainstream part enough?
True.
Because like I feel like it can be, but also I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, like,
Do you lose like everyone? Like, do they just get stuck on NVIDIA then?
Yeah, because, I mean, right now, even with the RX 480, I just don't think it's enough.
The 480 is not enough of a card.
Just even the design of the card, like, it just, it, in my testing in the card that I have here, it ran hotter. The quality of the card wasn't built that well either. It was just,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just. You know, it just didn't do it for me. I would be NVIDIA right now. I would have to see what AMD comes up with for this next round.
The other issue with the better AMD parts is that they tend to be more expensive than, like, especially when compared to their other, like, parts, right? They don't scale, like, cost-wise to their other parts very well.
Correct.
Like the Fury was, like, way too expensive, I thought.
Yes.
For how much performance you were getting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I think, yeah. I just... Well, again, all the stuff that we're talking about, we'll just have to see, right? We'll have to see what it does.
Of course. As always, we'll just wait and see.
And we'll have to see. You know, some cards come out, we get super pumped about it, and then there's, power gate issues, or there's... temperature issues, like the 290 series. Everybody thought that, you know, AMD had that huge event in Hawaii for it. It was crazy, and but the card overheated half the time.
Yeah,
and it sounded like it was going to take off. You know, it was just like that, and everybody was pumped for that. Everybody was like, "Oh, they're going to kick NVIDIA's ass," and blah blah blah. And they didn't because of that fact. Nobody wants a card that will fry everything in your system and sound like a jet, you know?
Yeah. Not to mention, how long do we have to wait till we see a Vega part?
Yeah, that's the thing.
2018? If we have to wait till 2018, NVIDIA is going to have their next part out as well.
Yeah, so a lot of people are saying we'll see it in Q1, but we don't know. because they have a prototype and they showed it at this press event, I'm thinking that they might have a Q1 launch just because you don't typically do that. And you don't have a closed-door private event, because usually when you have a closed-door private event, that means that you're getting ready to launch the part and you're showing the press and other people it first before it gets out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I don't think we've seen enough rumors about this yet for it to be a Q1 launch.
I've seen a couple. There's been a couple rumors that said that we might see an RX 490 or we might see... a Vega in Q. Oh, there's been a couple out there.
But not to the level of like when a card is going to launch.
True.
You know what I mean? Like the hype, all the quote unquote leaks, like they're just everywhere. Almost, you know, like at least once a week. And we've not been seeing that.
Yeah. So we'll see. I would say late Q1, March ish. I would say.
I'm less. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that we'll see a lot of stuff from both sides here in 2017. So,
yeah,
excited for all of that. Going back to the CPU part, there was a photo leak of the AMD Zen Naples CPU, and this is their server based or enterprise based CPU. Which is actually big business for them, and this will do a lot. And this is their 16-core, 32-thread CPU, and it's the largest and most powerful CPU system on a chip that they've built. This thing is a big chip.
It is a big chip.
It's a server chip, so it's made for, you know, web servers and all that, you know.
Yeah.
It's made to be in Iraq, basically.
Yeah, they're in a blade.
Yeah, and that's all we know, really. We don't know a whole lot much else about it, but it is the it definitely beats the largest core count of a x86 CPU. You know, the their other Naples chip will, so they have a 32 core one coming out, which just seems insane to me in a real product that's out there on the market, because we have seen like 1,000-core CPUs. We saw that you know, that story earlier this year, but that wasn't a real product. But to have a real 32-core 64-thread chip coming is pretty awesome, I think. Yeah, and especially if you're like an enterprise guy, you're like really pumped about this. I would be, because it definitely beats out the 24-core Intel server processor that's out there right now. So
yeah,
so that's cool stuff. And it's cool go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
It's cool to actually see the chip too. The size, because it is big.
Yeah, you like, it's one thing to like say, oh, this is a very large chip, but you show this thing, it's easily like, is it? I want to say it's like the size of two chips almost.
Yeah, it's big. It's like the size of two i7s.
Two Intel chips.
Yeah, it's big.
So I think that it's very interesting that they do not have their standard pin on chip design for this socket. It's the, what is that? The, I'm just trying to figure out what it's.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What's it called? This motherboard has the pins. What is that though? Sorry guys, I'm totally blanking out.
Yeah, I know what it's called. I know exactly what you're called, or exactly what it's called. But I can't think of crap. Yeah.
The standard. But anyways, so the pins are on the board, which is cool to me, because I always thought that was smarter. I hate the way the pins are on their standard AMD parts.
Yeah, so that's why.
And the chip itself, it's so easy to bend a pin there.
But then you have people like murdering their motherboards and bending the pins. I've seen some really bad photos of like
people. The boards are so much more expensive, or so much cheaper than the part.
Yeah,
the chip,
that's true. Yeah, very, very true. And typically you can RMA a board, so. And they'll just put a new socket on there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our last AMD story of the day is a cool one. If you have an RX 460, it has been unlocked through a BIOS update, which unlocks all of the available resources on the card. So the RX 460 is based off Polaris 11. The GPU actually has 1,024 stream processors and 16 compute units, but the RX 460 only has 14 of those compute units enabled. So when you unlock the card, you get two more compute units, which gives you 128 more stream processors and 8 additional TMUs.
That's pretty cool.
So it's about, in testing, it was about 12.5% performance boost, which is a pretty nice little boost for free. All you have to do is flash your BIOS, and they've done it on the Sapphire RX 460 Nitro 4G and the ASUS RX 460 Strix, this 4GB card as well. We included links to where you can download those BIOSes and the instructions. But AMD cards have always been known to be able to do this. And it's just nice. It's nice to get that little performance boost if you're down with, you know, flashing your card's BIOS. So it's pretty cool.
Which really isn't that crazy, guys.
Yeah, and a lot of these cards have a dual BIOS as well. So if you do happen to brick one BIOS,
you can use the other.
You can use the other one. Just don't brick it twice, because that has happened to people. So, but there is a guide that we link. So go ahead and check that out. But it's cool.
It's not as crazy as it used to be, though.
Yeah, it's very easy. So. Yeah. Colorful, they held an event in China, and they showed off their entire
Z270 motherboard lineup, and sadly we don't see a lot of colorful stuff here in the United States. But it is cool to see. Yeah, it is cool to see what they have going on, because for the longest time they just made graphics cards, and now they're doing motherboards as well. Yep. And this lineup looks pretty cool. A lot of thermal armor on a lot of their stuff, a lot of cool stuff. And we have a list of their entire lineup coming out for Z270 and H270, or B250, I'm sorry. Mm. And we have pictures of their top-end board, which is the colorful iGame Gamer Customation, which... By that name, I assume it means that it has a lot of RGB on it, so you can change a lot of the colors, it seems like. But it's cool stuff to see. Sadly, we won't see this unless you order it. I would assume that their BIOSes and stuff are in English as well. So you could,
think?
Yeah, I think.
Why would they bother, though?
I think in a lot of places, English... I think you just kind of have to. That their things would be in English.
They don't sell in North America, like, at all.
Yeah, but I think that there has to be an option to change it to English.
Okay.
So.
So, general question regarding to motherboards and your really opinion question. Because the armor is like, it's just the thing now, right?
Yes.
And I'm not, I'm just saying this because I'm looking at colorful, it's made me think of it, but like all of the other motherboard manufacturers do the same thing. Are they all copying Asus? Asus ripoffs.
Here's the thing: is that Asus is one of the manufacturers. There's a couple other ones that have a lot of innovations and change things.
Yeah,
but Asus usually is the one that comes out with it first, and then everybody copies. And the sad thing is that you can't patent a lot of things when it comes to this type of technology. So yeah, it does get copied. You see that all the time, not only in the motherboard market, but we saw it with cases. We've seen it, you know, in all types of technology, you see it. But yeah, thermal armor was introduced by Asus. Everybody seemed to copy it now. It's kind of a thing.
These big IO shields.
Yeah, but I mean, even a lot of stuff had been copied. I mean, there's a lot of, I forget who put Wi-Fi on a board first, then it was copied by everybody else.
Right. Or,
who puts, the protected PCI Express slots, you know, with a metal shielding?
Yeah, metal shield.
Yeah, you see that, you know.
I think that was actually MSI first.
It might have been MSI, but a lot of the companies now are making these innovations, and everybody copies it. It's just kind of how it goes, and that it's good, but then again, you have to continually have to innovate, you know.
Yeah. So it was just it's so widespread now. It's just kind of like a.
Yeah,
are we okay with this, that they copy? Or do we want to see them do something else?
I
don't know what else they would do, honestly.
A lot of brands are putting their own kind of thing on it. You even see Asus innovating now where they, you know, not only do they have RGB on certain parts of the board, but they have it on the PCI Express slots now. They have it behind the board, so your board kind of has this glow around it now.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cool stuff that a lot of people are doing. It's only going to continue to innovate, I think. So,
yeah.
You know,
so we're all right with that.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I think now if you have a high end board that does not have,
gotta have those things.
Yeah, it's just not gonna look as good. So yeah. I think they've kind of, you know.
How far have we come that like if your board doesn't have the IO cover, it looks like trash.
I know, right?
That was never a thing. You remember? Like I remember seeing the first couple where they were like black. The casings, the metal casings on those parts were black instead of silver like they always have been.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks so cool. That's the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and then Asus with their last generation, their couple high-end boards actually had the shield built into the motherboard, which is another innovation that they did first. And it just makes it easier for installing the motherboard then because putting an IO shield on isn't fun. And sometimes if it's a shitty IO shield.
It could be a huge pain.
Yeah, if it's one that's really flimsy and it's been bent, it's hard to get in there. You know, so it's just there's just a lot of different innovations that you can do with the motherboard, and I think that I've seen so many, and to continually see innovations and different things. We didn't talk about it because you were away and we missed the podcast that week, but also the new thing that they're doing, you'll see it on Z270, a lot of motherboards, is the M.2 slots will have a a little cover that actually that goes on top of the M.2 itself.
A heat sink.
Yeah, heat sink, because especially the Samsung, was it 950s?
Yeah.
They get extremely hot. So that's just, that's another new thing. MSI has it. BioStar has it. I believe Asus will have it as well. So a lot of the, you know what I mean? Let's just continually, just new more, just new things. Every time we get a new chipset, we're going to get these new features, whether they're chipset features or whether they're external features as far as looks, it's going to continue to, because they need to, you know? Mm-hmm. So I like it. Cool. Yes. And talking about, talking about M.2, Corsair announced their MP500 M.2 NVMe PCI Express SSD, and I believe this is their first M.2, so it's good to see. You know, Corsair is a pretty big name in the SSD market, although not as much recently, because
they've been quiet, haven't they?
They've been pretty quiet. A lot of their focus has been on gaming and cases and things like that. So this is their MP500. It's an M.2 NVMe PCI Express, obviously. And it has read speeds up to 3,000 megabytes a second and write speeds up to 2,400 megabytes a second.
Okay. Pretty average.
Pretty fast, pretty average for NVMe drive.
For NVMe, yeah.
Yeah, it uses the... God,
how crazy is that I just said that was pretty average?
Yeah, for NVMe, yes. It uses the Phison PS5007-E7 controller, which a lot of these will be based on that we'll see at CES. So good stuff. It's available in 122, 40, and 480 currently. Probably expect to see 960 over 1 terabyte coming in 2017, I would assume. So I believe those initial ranges, especially the lower ones, are for a lot of system integrators who need an OS drive, and then they'll team it with a larger 2 or 3 terabyte typical hard drive.
Yeah.
A lot of companies do that. So, but yeah, cool to see them have their first one, and I believe I'm going to be getting one here in the next week, so I'll be excited to test it out. Yes.
Nice.
And then our last news story of the day here is that, according to a recent interview, Star Wars Battlefront 2 will have a single-player campaign. And that was the biggest problem with the first one. I know you didn't play it. It was basically online only with a couple battles. You could play single-player, but there was really no story. And I think with Star Wars has such a great story.
It's so story-driven.
Yeah, that's not having one was... Everybody loved being in the big battles that we all knew from the movies, and I think that's why Battlefront was as successful as it was anyways, because everybody wanted a Star Wars game, everybody wanted a good Star Wars game, and everybody wanted the massive battles that were in Star Wars. You got all that with Battlefront, right? But for a lot of us, I like single-player campaigns in games. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know.
I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, but, you know, especially a Star Wars game, having that single-player campaign would be is a big deal to me. So, according to a recent interview with the DICE producer, Paul Kelson, he talked about Rogue One DLC and Battlefront 2, and he said that, you know, the biggest request that they had was for a campaign, so it looks like they're going to put it in Battlefront 2.
At least they're, like, actually planning for this game.
Yeah, and it will come out... fall of 2017.
Yep, just in time to
for the next source. So I'm excited to see what they'll do with the campaign. There's a lot of games that have a campaign and the campaign's bad or it's incredibly short, and that's what I'm scared of with this one, is that
it doesn't have a very good history of making good single player campaigns.
Yeah, so we'll see, but I think a campaign is better than no campaign.
I mean, like, EA admitted they rushed Battlefront out to ride the wave of Episode 7, so...
Yes.
At least it seems that they've, you know, given it 2 years of work, I hope.
Yes.
For this version.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over this whole Battlefield, Battlefront, EA, like... they're just skins on the same game.
I'm kind
of over that. And then... I mean, people will attack me for that or whatever, but, like, sorry, but that it is what it is, and I guess you can say that that's the truth about every shooter. They're all kind of just different skins, but not really. They can play different, they can feel different. I just I don't want to play the same game that's got, you know, different colors and
yeah, I think adding certain features and being more immersive and doing certain things is a risk, but I think for Star Wars fans, it's a risk worth taking, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so again, we'll have to see how the game is and what things they'll add and how they'll make it different and how they'll actually create a, you know, if they do an in-depth story with it, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, they have three major franchises right now, obviously, or two, Battlefield and Battlefront. You know, yeah. So.
I also, just don't want a Star Wars skin Battlefield.
Yeah, and that's what Battlefront was. Yeah. But I think it came at a time where everybody just wanted a good Star Wars game, and it is a good game.
Yeah. Like, mostly it just came at a time where there was hype about Star Wars.
Yeah, so that's another thing as well. So hopefully we see a good campaign. I'll be pretty pumped about it. So so that is our news for the week. I know we're running a little long here.
We're doing good.
So coming up next week, we have two great reviews. First is the Lenovo Idea Center Y900 Razr Edition, and this is a full gaming PC, and it's pretty much maxed out to give you the best performance you can have in a desktop experience with a single graphics card. They loaded this thing out with a GTX 1080. What else is inside? I'm trying to think. i7 6700K. It's pretty awesome, and it's the Razr edition, which means it comes with a Razr keyboard and Razr mouse, and I'm in love with the Razr keyboard, which is the Black Widow Chroma, and it is awesome.
Time with that keyboard?
It's my first time with that keyboard, and it's my first time with the Razr switches.
Yeah.
And
it does have different switches.
And I really like them. They're like the best combination of like Cherry MX Blue and like, I don't know what else you want, like better versions of Cherry MX Blue.
I think the way you described it to me, I thought they were, it sounded like a Cherry MX Black.
I don't know. All I know is that I'm in love with them, and like I'm in front of a different keyboard right now, and I want to go back to that one.
Yeah.
But it's a great gaming PC. Again, with a GTX 1080, you're going to be able to play all of your high-end games at pretty respectable resolutions as well. This is obviously VR ready. So, you know, if you had a VR headset, one thing that's really cool is we see a lot of these companies, you know, Asus and all of them have these high-end gaming PCs, but they're extremely hard to upgrade, right? They're these smaller form factors, or they're like hard to get into. This is made to be upgraded. It has all normal parts, has a normal motherboard. You can put
Power supply.
Yeah, regular power supply, has everything. The motherboard is a Lenovo motherboard, but again, you use room to add another graphics card if you want, you know.
Looks like it's a full ATX board.
Yeah, it's a full ATX board. You know, so, and this makes it easy too, if something breaks and you want to repair it yourself, you can go ahead and do that. You don't need to take your machine and send it all the way back to Lenovo or whatever it may be, where you're out of a system for a long period of time or whatever.
If they even fix it.
Or, you can go to the store and pick up a new hard drive or pick up a new graphics card or whatever it may be, you can do it. And that's what I like about this system, is that a lot of people, their first PC might be a PC like this, but then they get into the whole build your own thing, and they can add on parts to their own system. And surprisingly, a lot of people do that.
I did.
Yeah.
And I ran into the headaches that most people do. You can't use those parts. When you try to go to upgrade, pretty much anything beyond like adding a expansion card is hard to do in most of these systems.
Yeah, so this is like a normal mid-tower case. It's actually a pretty cool case too. On the top of the case, I don't want to go into it too much because I want you guys to read my review, which will be published tomorrow. But if you press a button, the side panel kind of pops off. It's actually pretty cool.
Nice.
You know, so it's a good case. I like it. It's a good system. Had a lot of fun playing games. I'm still playing games on it. It's going to sit here for a while and play games on it. They did send me their curved gaming monitor too, which made gaming that much better.
Yeah.
And it's 144 hertz screen. It's just awesome. Yeah. So I've been playing a lot of games on that. But definitely stay tuned next week for that, or tomorrow really, if you're listening to this tonight on Sunday. The review will be out on Monday, so definitely stay tuned for that. And then I have a DDR4 memory kit. I'll be taking a look at the Crucial Ballistics Tactical DDR4 kit, 32 gigabyte kit, DDR4 3000. So this is a 3000 megahertz kit, and the tactical sits between the so it goes in their ballistic series. You have the Ballistic Sport, Ballistic Tactical, and then Ballistic Elite. And we've already taken a look at the Elite and the Sport. So right in the middle, we have the Tactical, and I'll have that review for you as well.
Cool. So you know what I like about the ballistic stuff is that it's not like these stupid colors. They go with like any system.
Yeah, that's actually wrote that. I'm in the middle of writing that review right now. And that's the nice thing. It's like this will match pretty much any system. Yeah.
And like well, the way it is, like sure, they kind of found like a gun theme in the, yeah, the designs, but like you don't have to take that necessarily as like a gun part. It's kind of just a cool design, metal design, and it will fit with just about anything.
Yep. And it's a really good kit. I want you guys to read my review, so I won't reveal too much, but it performs, yeah, quite well.
Nice.
So we'll get into some other stuff. First, we have a new logo on the site. I got the logo redone, and away is the same kind of guy, I think.
yeah.
I've changed the color a little bit with a white and blue, and the case has been upgraded from before. A couple of upgrades, but we did that, and I actually got some stickers made, and we'll be giving those away to you guys. And nice. Hopefully you like the new logo. Let us know. Shoot us a message on Facebook or something, and let us know if you like the logo.
Cool.
But the big thing of this week, and I know you're super pumped about it, as was I, is that Star Wars came out this week.
Of course.
And you said it was one of your favorite Star Wars ever.
It's hands down the best Star Wars that has come out since I've been alive. Yeah, okay. Because Episode 6 came out before I was born, I'm pretty sure. So everything that Lucas has done, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, I believe that it's better than Episode 7 too, so
okay. Yeah.
The only one I don't think it's better than, to be honest, is Empire. I really think that it's number two for me.
Empire's the best one by far.
Yeah.
I would agree with you there. This one was really interesting. It's definitely a different take. I guess we could have some spoilers in here, but it's just weird to see a Star Wars without any Jedis, right?
I guess.
You know, I mean, you do see
Vader. We know that they're dead, though. We watched, you know, Episode 3.
Yeah, I know that. But, it's just, I know, like, it's just weird to not see that as any part of this movie.
Perhaps that's why it's a Star Wars story.
Yeah. And I do, like, here's the thing, is that I love that we have other movies based in the Star Wars universe, and this one still, yeah, is like, what is this, a 3.5?
It is standalone, but it's also, it does lead more so than I thought it was even going to. It leads straight into New Hope.
Yeah.
So it's almost like 3.9 even.
Like the end basically is right when that movie starts.
Dude, it ends 8 minutes before.
Yeah. So that's I did like that. I did like how it connected to the other, yeah, ones. There's a lot of action in this.
This is the most like real Star Wars movie I think that's ever been made.
Yeah, and it was good to see. It was a little darker. I'm not going to give away.
That's because... what I mean by real. It was extreme. The action was realistic. It was like visceral. It had more feeling to it, and it was definitely dark.
And I think they kind of had to do that because there isn't going to be a continuation. I mean, there isn't going to be continuation of this story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, well, I mean, there is, but it's, yeah, yes. Yeah. Elements of this will go away.
Yeah, yeah, so.
I totally lost what I was going to say about it. Oh, I was going to say, like, when the Han Solo movie comes out, it will be very similar to this. I think too. There won't be Jedi. It'll be,
yeah.
It'll be a Star Wars universe based movie.
I think that for a lot of people, they maybe will have to get used to that, because I think the Jedi whole thing in the lightsaber whole thing is a big part of Star Wars movies, right?
See, and I think that this is I was wondering about this, and I talked with Oz, one of our friends, about this a little bit, because I was curious what somebody who's not hardcore into Star Wars felt about it, because there's so much, when you get way more into the Star Wars universe, it's not all about Jedi anymore, right?
See, you're obviously way in more than I am, and I know that.
Yeah.
I do know a lot about Star Wars, and I have all the movies, and you know, but I haven't like read any of the books or done any of that, so yeah, I think this movie is different for hardcore fans than it is for normal fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I listened to a reaction podcast, and like they were all like the same exact feelings that I had, right?
Yeah,
and these are guys that like worked on Star Wars movies in the past, and like they're hardcore, but then I've talked to Oz, and now your reaction, and it's like, oh, well, maybe they just don't. I think that when you know other things, and it's like, finally, it's like this, like, finally, they're visualizing these things that I've been imagining for so long.
Yeah, then that makes sense. You know what I mean?
And it was just so exciting to me from that point of view.
Yeah, I did like it, though. Yeah. Definitely a good movie. How many times did you see it? Twice?
Just twice.
I saw it once. But yeah, you haven't seen Star Wars yet, it is the movie to see this holiday. A lot of people are off the last 2 weeks of the year, so if you have time, go see it with your family. Good movie.
Yeah, there's actually a ton of good movies out, too.
Yeah, there's a good amount of movies.
Yeah, lots of competition.
But talking about TV shows, there's one show that I never talk about a lot of TV shows because I don't watch a lot of TV, but my buddy Jason told me to watch this show called Peaky Blinders. It's on Netflix if you have Netflix. And it is awesome. So it's about a gang in the 1918 in Britain, I believe it's Britain. But anyways, it's really good. It's shot really well. It's really, really good. So if you want to get into a new show on Netflix, it's one to definitely check out. I really like it. Episodes are an hour long, so gotcha. Worth checking out. And then finally, I know we want to end this soon, but all of us have been playing Gears of War.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot.
We've been enjoying the cross-platform play with the Xbox One.
Yeah, so a lot of our friends are Xbox gamers. We're PC gamers. We're able to play together. I think that's... Moving forward, I think that's a great thing for Microsoft.
You want to say about like advantage or disadvantage to whoever, like when it kind of comes down to it, hey, you can just play with your friends no matter what they got, right?
Yeah, so I really like that, and it's once you get it working on your system, the experience is really good.
You get it downloaded.
Yeah, so
be aware of bugs trying to get things downloaded from the Microsoft Store.
Yeah, but if there is a game, if you are running Windows 10, which you should be, and you have a DX12 capable graphics card, which you should by now. I would definitely pick up Gears of War this holiday as a game to play. It's a lot of fun. Yes. So that wraps it up, guys. I know we're running pretty long this one, but we had a lot of stuff to cover. But as always, we will have links to everything that we talked about in our show notes and then on all of your favorite podcasting software. All you do is just type in Think Computers one word and we should pop up. So until next week, catch you guys later.